We've been studying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to just read verse 10. Well, I think I'll read 9 too. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This morning I want to continue our thoughts that we were working on last Sunday, where it says that we have turned to God for salvation, and we're not just simply to be saved to go to heaven, but we're saved to serve. Last week we were looking at serving the Lord, and we are to be serving the Lord and waiting for the Lord till He comes. But we're not to be waiting, sitting on our hands. And I want us to turn our thoughts to Luke chapter 12. And I want to look at some of the attributes or some of the attitudes or some of the things that those of us who are waiting for the Lord to be doing, and also to be warned what can happen to us if we're not careful. We're to be waiting for the Lord, but while we are waiting, we are to be occupied with not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but with the work that He's given us to do. Jesus told His disciples, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." And that should be our meat as well. In Luke chapter 12, verse 36, it says, And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open to Him immediately. One of the things that we need to be doing while we're waiting is anticipation. Anticipation so that we can respond immediately. I think there, when the Lord comes, there's going to be some surprises, because there are a lot of God's children that are not looking for the Lord's return. In fact, they don't even think, many of them probably don't even think He's coming for another 1,000 years. But the return of the Lord has always been imminent since the day He left, because His apostles were anticipating His return even in their lifetime. But we are to be like men who are waiting for the Lord with anticipation. This is not saying that we are to be as men, but like them, of the servants waiting for their master to return from his wedding. In verse 37, it says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He will gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Those servants that will be occupied with the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be blessed. I just think about a bride and a bridegroom and his bride returning from the wedding to a feast, where the servants would be serving prime rib and, you know, and all the goodies. But you know what? The Lord says, if you're faithful, I'm going to bless you by preparing you a meal to enjoy when I come. And it says, when He finds them watching, He knows whether we're watching or not. And we will be blessed if He finds us watching for Him. And He will make those that are watching to sit down to the table, and He will come and come forth and serve them. Then in verse 38 it says, "And He shall come in the second watch," if He shall come in the second watch or in the third watch, "and find them so, blessed are those servants." When you see a repeat of the word blessing, this is for emphasis. And this is also to emphasize it so that you can count on it. Remember when Pharaoh had the dream about those two, about the cows and the ears of corn, Joseph said, that was given to you so you would know there was no question about what God's going to do. And that you can be assured of the fact that if you're watching for the Lord, you are going to be blessed. And can I put it this way? Out of your socks. Well, out of your socks is not in the text. But let me tell you, you can be blessed. You will, and you can anticipate a true blessing. You will enjoy what He is going to do. Now, this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. This simply saying is this: the Lord doesn't want us to know when He is coming, so then we can start looking. So that, because if a man knew when the thief was coming, he would have started watching then. You know, he had been watching, he's looking at his watch, and says, oh, the thief's going to be here at 9:30 tonight, so I'll sort of set things up about a half hour before he gets here, and it's spoiling. Let me tell you, the Lord doesn't want us to know what hour the thief is coming. He's coming as a thief. He's not coming with fanfare. He's going to slip in, he's going to take his own with him, and he's going to leave. And I think Paul Corcoran was mentioning in the paper this morning how the FBI is warning the world about end-time apocalyptic events being associated with Christians or religious coups. So it's just simply setting up the scenario that if somebody happens to wind up missing, why, they're up at Ruby Ridge waiting on the FBI and the ATF, you know. They've slipped out with all their guns and they're going to start a war. You know, it's just, we don't really know what the world's going to think when we are caught out from this world. But the Lord doesn't want us to know when. Because you know what, if we knew when He was coming, then we would delay. We would say the Lord is delaying His coming, and that's what we will find here in just a moment. Verse 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. We need to be ready. Being ready has a lot of facets to it. Confession of sin, faithfulness and service, faithfulness in your devotion to Him. Let me tell you, personal daily devotion is part of being ready. Your prayer life should be consistent. It's when people begin to quit praying, they become like Esau. You know what happened to Esau? He became faint. And sometimes when we pray, we don't always get what we want when we pray. I know I don't. But I do change my attitude and my thoughts about what I'm praying about. But let me tell you one thing that I know for sure. Those who pray will not faint. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And let me tell you, in these last days, Christians are fainting. They are quitting. They are sacrificing their future on the altar of the immediate. They want instant gratification. And somebody has told them, and it doesn't make any difference how you live, you get the whole pie when you get home. Let me tell you, if you're not watching and you're not living like you're watching for the Lord's return, you're not going to be blessed. Because it's only those that are watching and who are ready will be blessed and will be at the table, where the others will be where? They will be serving and bustling dishes in heaven. So we need to be ready. And let me tell you, if you think you've got it figured out when He's coming, you can count on it. It's not sin. It's when you think not, when you haven't got it figured out. I mean, you know, you think it's going to be in Jubilee, or the Feast of Trumpets, or you name it. Let me tell you, it's not going to be then. It's not going to be then. So, when you think not, He's coming. And Peter says, are you saying this to everybody or just to us? And who he is talking to here, he's talking to the faithful and the wise steward. He's talking to the faithful and the wise servant. This message is not for the world that is lost. This message is for those who are believers. In fact, it is really a message for those who are going to be faithful to the Lord. And in verse 42, and the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season?" Who then is that faithful and wise steward? He is that faithful and wise steward is the one who is watching, the one who is being ready when he comes, and is prepared to respond immediately when he comes. And talking about responding immediately, just an illustration or a thought came into my mind. When Napoleon's horse ran away uncontrollably one day, and one of his enlisted men ran out and to sacrifice his life and grab the horse and save Napoleon harm. And he was an enlisted man, a private. And Napoleon said, "Thank you, Captain." And the soldier says, "Of what division, sir?" You know, that's called immediate. In other words, what Napoleon told him, he was a captain and he wanted to know of whom. So, this faithful and wise steward is prepared. And when the Lord says, "You're going to be king or lord," and he says, "Over what city, Lord? Over what country, Lord?" And he will make him ruling over his household. These faithful and wise stewards are those who are giving out the meat of the word as well. They're feeding the flock. They're preparing other people to be prepared when the Lord returns. And then in verse 43 he says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing." This is the reason why in this fellowship that we're interested in teaching the Word of God. To give out meat, not milk all the time. Milk is appropriate at times, but it's the meat of the Word. It's the meat of the Word that prepares us for His soon return. It's the meat of the Word that helps us to discern between good and evil. Some of the sign out there was a little larger than I had anticipated when I ordered the sign. And I told the fellow that if we had known that this was going to be too big in here, or, you know, real big, that we might have chose some other words. And when Jean and I were visiting her grandmother in Pittsburgh, we drove by a Presbyterian church where Jean's grandmother had gone when she was younger. And on the sign on their lawn was, we preach the Bible, the blood, and the blessed hope. And that's what we do here too. We preach the Word of God. We preach deliverance from sin through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we preach the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming. And he says in verse 44, "Of a truth I say unto you, I will make him ruler over all that he has." If we will be faithful and wise stewards, then we can be assured that we will rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. Now, in verse 45, we see an interesting turn. But if that servant, what servant? It's the faithful and wise servant. It's the servant who is watching for his master's return. It's the same servant all the way through this passage of Scripture in Luke 12. It's not a different servant. It's the servant who was faithful. And he changes. What does he change? Well, somebody gave him a track on when the Lord was coming. So he says, "Oh, the Lord isn't coming till, what was it, 88? And they had the date down in 88. Others have it, you know, others had it all kinds of places. And what does he say in his heart? "My Lord delayeth his coming." We've got to figure out when he'll be here. I've got time to what? To do what I want to do. And then when at the end, I can get it all together, and then I will be blessed. You know what? The Lord doesn't work that way. You can't work it that way. You have to be wise and faithful to the end, not detouring in the middle. And it's that servant who says in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming," shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat, drink, and be drunken. He turns the sickle on the servants. He doesn't treat, in other words, he doesn't visit those in prison. He doesn't minister to those that are hungry. He doesn't clothe those that are naked. He doesn't minister to the Lord. The Lord says, "When you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." They are no longer servants. When you start beating up on the brethren, you are not serving them. You are slicing them, if you please. And the Lord said, it's by our serving each other that the world knows that you are my disciples. If you love one another, the world will know that you're my disciples. So these began to eat, drink, and be drunken. And then in verse 46 is the Lord of that servant. That is, the faithful and wise servant who said in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming," will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the faithless. Not the unbeliever. This word is a noun. It's the faithless. The unfaithful. Let me tell you, there's a place for the faithful and there's a place for the unfaithful. And the place for the faithful is to rule and reign with Christ. And the place for the unfaithful is not a place that you want to be. Particularly if you knew that if you were faithful, you'd be blessed. The unfaithful will be waiting on the tables instead of being honored at the table. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will be beaten with many. And it doesn't, the word stripes is in italics. That means it was added. Somebody thought it was stripes. It might be something else. The point is this. Whether it's stripes or whatever, let me tell you, everybody in this room looks like to me has had a licking. Now they're, my next door neighbor's kids never got a licking, and they lived like it. When I was in Chattanooga, he was a psychologist and a doctor teaching at the university, and he never beat his, he never spanked his kids, he never disciplined his kids, and his kids about killed each other. But let me tell you, everybody in here has been disciplined, has had a few stripes in their day. I've had a few. Everybody in this room has had a few. And let me tell you, I never look forward to them. Usually I was running. and I know this, if I ran for very long, it was going to be worse. So, anyway, the point is this. You're not going to like the outcome if we're not faithful to the end. And while we're waiting, we need to be encouraged to be faithful. We're living in a day when men and women and our brothers and sisters in the body are departing from the faith, making shipwreck of the faith. They've stopped pleasing God and start pleasing themselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find Paul encouraging Timothy. He says, "Watch thou in all things." Watch. Watch and pray, Jesus told his disciples in the garden. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. This is something that we need to be doing. Paul says, "I'm ready to be offered. I have done this. Now, Timothy, you do this. I'm at the end of my race, and I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Today, people want to surrender. They don't want to finish anything. And they do not want to keep the faith. They don't want to keep on pleasing God. Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me in that day. And not only to me, but to all of them that love his appearing. It's the appearing or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the motivator for us to be faithful. And a lot of people say, oh, I love Jesus coming, and they don't live like it at all. What they are loving is they're escaping. They want to get away from whatever they're involved in or that's whatever's got them. It's not the escaping, it's his coming. And rejoicing in the fact that I have been faithful in fighting a good fight, I have finished. I have continued to please God. Let me tell you, nobody is going to love his appearing when you have been misbehaving. I never looked forward to my mother coming home when I didn't do what she told me to do, when I didn't clean my room, when I didn't take out the garbage or mow the grass. If you aren't mowing the grass and taking care of your own life, you're not going to be loving his appearing. You're going to be just like Adam and Eve. They're going to be in the bushes. You're going to be in the bushes hiding. You know why? Because you're going to be naked. And the shame of your nakedness is going to be apparent. And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ naked, everybody's going to see your shame. And you're going to be ashamed as well. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. You know what that implies? It means that you can get you some garments, and you get your garments through good works. But did you know you can lose your garments? You can have your garments taken away, and you lose your garments by running through the bushes. They tear off. Losing your garments is a wasting your life after being faithful to the Lord. Don't waste the end of your life. Be faithful to the Lord. Revelation 3:4. Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. They are worthy. Not only can our garments be lost, but our garments can be defiled. Dirty. I could have used that illustration that I used last Sunday about cleaning out the sewer and getting my clothes defiled with sewage out of the plumbing. And when I put my clothes in with other clothes, thinking I'd make a full load, you know what? Those clothes defiled the other clothes. And it took some powerful deodorizing to get rid of the stench. So, we need to not defile our garments. Keep them clean. How do we keep them clean? Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. John tells us in John 1:28, now little children, these are the ones who know the Father, these are the technion, abide in him that when he shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming or his presence. Beloved, verse 2 of chapter 3 of 1 John. Beloved, this is the little children of chapter 2. Now are we the actually mature children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The Lord's coming. Are you keeping clean? Are you keeping your garments? Are you watching? Are you giving out meat in due season? Let me tell you, the Lord said twice, if you'll do that, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bless you. You're going to like it. Don't quit. Don't quit. And this in closing, in Luke 21:34, says, take heed to yourselves. This is personal responsibility. Lest at any time your heart be overcharged with excess. Surfeiting has to do with too much, too many things, too much money, too much time, too much pleasure. Let me just show this. We just happened to be watching a little travel thing last night on TV, and they were telling us where the number one, number two, number three places in the world to go. And this one little place down in near the Philippines, I can't think of the name. I don't even want to give you the name of the place, but I can't even think of it. But it's pagan to the root, worshiping idols. And they said this is the number one place to go because it is a spiritual adventure. And you can get rooms down there for as little as $30 a night, or you can get a room, well, it's not a room, you can get a place to stay for $4,500 a night. Let me tell you, when you have that kind of money and that kind of time, you're going to be distracted from what is important, much less going down to a pagan place like that, where all they do is worship their gods and sacrifice to their gods. It would be a good missionary trip, but I'm sure you wouldn't last too long in that place. But anyway, it says here, don't let your hearts be overcharged, overcome with excess, drunkenness, the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. When you have too much time, too much money, you're drunk on the cares of this world and the things of this world, and saving the whales. If you're wrapped up in all this stuff, that day's going to come upon you unaware. You're not going to be ready. You're not going to be prepared. You're not watching when you're doing all this stuff. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things. And I associate all these things have to do with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this world. That's what it seems. I want to escape that because I do not want that day to come upon me unawares. I want to be able to, what does it say here? To stand before the Son of Man and not be ashamed because I'm nude. May the Lord help us to wait upon the Lord, and while we're waiting, serve Him and be prepared for Him when He comes. And Lord willing, we'll pick up our thoughts about the Lord delivering us from the wrath to come, Lord willing, next Sunday. Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the warnings that it gives us so that we can be prepared when You come, that we will continue to be faithful and wise stewards, giving out the Word, preparing ourselves to rule and reign with You in Your coming kingdom. Help us, Lord, not to quit, not to faint, but to fight, to finish, and to live by faith. Help us, Lord, to anticipate Your soon coming so that our lives will be pure. We will have all of our garments, and our garments will be clean. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have given us to prepare for Your soon return and to stand in Your presence approved. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.